Umm Hadi asked the question that her son is Hadi. She says, is it correct to name him Hadi, or it should be Abdul Hadi, because Hadi is one of the names of Allah?
I pray to Allah the Almighty, and I ask Him to make your son and all the sons and daughters of the Muslimin huda, to be guides to mankind. Allahumma Amin. It's a beautiful name, and it has nothing to do with Allah's beautiful names and attributes. Because if you notice that, all Allah's names are definite. By the meaning, they do begin with the letters Alif and Lam. Al-Hadi, which is the only guide, the true guide. Al-Sami', the all-hearer. Al-Basir, the all-seer. Al-Qawi, the most powerful, and so on. So now we can compete with him, not even in his name. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And he has no one who's equivalent to him or comparable to him in anything and by any name. Accordingly, it's okay as long as the name it doesn't have the alif and lam. So the person, if you call your son Samia, however, I just have another objection. If you're asking concerning whether it's one of Allah's names, no, it's not any of Allah's names. Choosing the names was not just left haphazardly. The Prophet ﷺ gave us a beautiful way to select and choose a name that suits my son or my daughter. And he said that the best names, of course, at all, are those which begin with Abd, the servant or the slave of. Then, of course, he expected the following to be one of Allah's beautiful names or attributes, such as Abdul Hadi, the servant of the old guide, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who truly guides. Or Abdullah or Abdul Rahman, these are the two best names. Also, it's recommended to name your son after any of the Prophet's names, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad, wa Ahmad, wa Mahmud. And among his names, of course, is Hadi, because he was a guide, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well. To that, that's perfectly fine. But what's not fine at all is what people tend to inoculate some of their cultural practices into the religion of Islam and ascribe it to Islam and say this is Islamically. The sister mentioned a very dangerous practice, which is that the name is not just chosen that easily. No, it's not even the parents' right to choose the name of their child. They have to go to a professional person who has a knowledge which no one else has, and based on certain calculations would give that person this name. And if they choose any other name to him, that person would suffer in his life. This is all false, false, false. There is not the slightest chance that this could be true by any means. Given the name is right of the father with the assistance or the consultation of the mother, of course. It should be given on the seventh day to choose a good name that suits your child, not only to certain age, but that would suit your child. Imagine your child as a grown man, as a student, as a khatib, as an imam, as a commander of a chief. So you give him a name that suits him in every occasion, not just a delicate name that he will be embarrassed of or would have to change his or her name after a while, or a name after some of those singers or dancers whom you are a fan of. No. A name of a role model that you would like your son to be like him or like her. And of course, you have plenty of the companions of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and the Muslim commanders of the Muslim armies, which you can choose from amongst their names to suit your son. Believing that if you do not do so and you do not follow this practice and you choose any other name based on any other formula to your son or daughter that something would harm him, this is an act of shirk. An act of associating others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this case, it is the name. That how could you think, or imagine, or believe that anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could benefit or prevent from harm? It is only Him who benefits, and it is only Him who prevents a harm from befalling us. Of course, not only a false practice, but it's a very good way for cheaters to cheat on innocent people and charge them money and rip them off and so on. So be aware you have to educate yourselves in religion, and before making anything, thank you for asking this question. May Allah bless you and your family. As far as this is being practiced by your parents and they ask you to do so, you have to explain to them slowly with wisdom that, well, this is the practice of Prophet Muhammad SAW. This is his sunnah in choosing and selecting the names. This is what he said, this is what the companions did. Any other practice is an act of innovation. Then address them regarding the dangers of believing in certain beliefs like that. That's another thing. To make it even worse, they go further to say that you have to wear a charm or a talisman, ta'weez, so that the child will be protected from any harm. This is unbelievable. It's like we're going back more than 1400 years ago. It's like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not been sent. It's like the Quran was not revealed upon us. What happened? The kuffar before Islam used to do like this. They would wear a talisman, a ta'weez, a tamima, to protect them from evil, from the evil eye. In the West, they have the horseshoe. They put it this way to collect what's good. They put it upside down to empty what's evil. They put it in their doors. Many Muslims, whenever they buy a new Mercedes, they make certain that they put the horseshoe. These are all acts of shirk. Knowingly or unknowingly, the person, if he does that, will be held accountable, and there is a severe punishment for that. Even if a woman or a man happens to wear a necklace, and they put in it what I call it, the microscopic Quran. They buy a very low Quran, which no one can read whatsoever in it, but they just wear it as a means of protection. If the talisman, if the ta'weez or the charm happens to be the Quran itself, this is haram. The Prophet ﷺ says in a hadith that one who wears anything or hangs anything to seek protection from or with that thing have indeed associated others with Allah. فَقَدْ أَشْرَكْ. People also who wear rubber bands just simply not as a means of adornment. What is this for? They say this is for protection. It is to bring luck. The person, his prayer is not accepted because he's praying while associating others with Allah. And guess what he is associating with Allah in worship? A rubber band. He believes that this item, if you go in the West, they have the pennies and the quarters engraved. What's engraved in it? They say that's an angel. Can you just imagine that? Can you imagine an angel being engraved in a coin? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah forgive us. And if you keep this in your wallet, this is a means of protection. And fearing of bad omen, you go to tall, lofty buildings, you will find an amazing thing. If the elevator is going up, you notice that 11th, 12th, 14th, what happened to number 13? There is no 13th floor, because they have a bad omen that number 13 is a bad number. Certain day, certain dates are bad numbers. The Prophet ﷺ said that لا عدوى ولا طيرة. Particularly, he warned us against believing in bad omens. When the Prophet ﷺ had his young nephew riding behind him, he said, "Son, let me teach you a few words. If you ever ask, only ask from Allah. And if you ever seek help, only seek the help of Allah. Son, know that for sure. If all mankind get together, not only the coin, not only the charm, not only the necklace, if all mankind got together and agreed to benefit you with anything which Allah did not ordain for you, that will never happen. That will never happen. And if all mankind get together to harm me with anything that Allah did not destine you for, that will never take place. Why? Because as the Prophet ﷺ said in the Sahih Hadith, رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجَفَّتُ الصُّحُفِ. The pens have been left, which pens? Which record our destiny. That was recorded 50,000 years before Hadi was born. 50,000 years before the entire universe was created. So it's known whether Hadi is going to live or not. It's known whether I'm going to be here right now or not. And nothing is going to change Allah's decree. Only Him is able to do so. So whatever we do as a means of protection cannot change Allah's destiny concerning us. So what to do? Ad-du'a. If you know that no one can benefit nor protect from harm but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person would be just fooling around to seek protection from anyone else to be sought only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعَنْ بِاللَّهِ. I personally believe that there is a tremendous amount of work that we have to do, all of us together, to strengthen our faith, of course, after we correct it. Because unfortunately, that what's cultural has been mixed with what's religious, and they all appear as one, which is not true. We have to make distinction between what's religious and what's authentic, and we have to correct our aqidah and our belief. So may Allah enable us to do so. And as far as your task towards your parents, you have indeed a very important job to do, that you have to change the false belief in the mind, not only of your parents, of your friends, of your own self, of our family members, because this is what the Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Protect yourselves and your family members from fire. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَ.
Jazakumullah khair, Shaykh. Very beautiful elaboration and very important, mashallah. I hope all of us benefit from this.